Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
Tell me a little bit about your ethnic background. So I'm with Howard and Arlene Slonik.
We're both growing up as we're born as Bohemian children, and I was born in Iowa City, and
I was born at home.
In the house, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The doctor came out to our house.
Wow. And were you actually in the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
Or were you, yeah?
I think so.
So you were the second eldest of your father?
Yes. He was married to a woman other than my mother, and she died in childbirth. So I was the second child of my father and first child of my mother.
And so they were both Bohemian?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Full-blooded?
Yes.
And was it your grandfather that came over from Bohemia, or your great-grandfather?
My grandfather from Prague.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether he moved first to Wisconsin and then to Iowa, or I first met him when he was living in Iowa.
Do you remember much about your grandmother?
Grandmother Slavic quite well.
Yeah.
She lived on the farm and then moved into Iowa City.
And he became a drunk, so she had to live by herself with Uncle Frank and Aunt Ethel. Did you ever meet him? I did once with your dad. Met Grandma Slotick's husband.
I remember him, but not too well.
Put him in a home because he was an alcoholic. And then I went to visit him once.
So you, when you were growing up, you first lived on a farm?
Yes, lived on a farm. And
is that in Iowa City, or where? Within
Southeast, 5 miles southeast of Iowa City.
Yeah.
And then we moved to town when I was 14.
I worked at Mercy Hospital when I was 13.
Wow. What were you doing over there?
Oh, we would get ready to put the carts in for the patients, and then we'd dip up their food.
Yeah.
And then we'd have to do the dishes afterwards when they brought the carts down. We were stuck in there doing the dishes. But we had a lot of fun. We were just rebels, and they'd get mad at us every once in a while. But since my dad worked there, you know,
we got away with a little bit.
We kind of had. I don't know. We used to have a lot of fun. This Phyllis Hogan and I, she was a hoot. And during the time, we'd go down, look in the morgue, see if there's any bodies down there. And so then they got mad at us, and we had to polish silverware. Jeez. Oh, God, but they couldn't very well get too mad at us because, you know, my dad was there. My dad didn't know what all went on either.
So you said before one time that Grandpa Slotik, your dad, my Grandpa Slotik, had 6 brothers and 1 sister. So you had 6 uncles and 1 aunt.
Yeah.
And do they all live in Iowa City area? Or?
Yes.
Pretty much.
So, because I remember Uncle Frank and the most, I think Uncle Joe too.
Uncle Frank worked for the railroad.
Oldest brother was Ed, and then Jim, And then Dad, Joe, Frank, and Charlie. And then Irene was the last, youngest.
Yeah. So do you guys do a lot of stuff with your aunts and uncles growing up? I think everybody was right there in Iowa City area, or do you all pretty much kind of do your own thing for...
My father farmed, and he worked, Jim, his brother, farmed the land, and so we saw a lot of them, and my father primarily raised hogs in the early years, and later when he moved to Iowa City, he rented out the farm, and went in the cattle business, and out of the hog business.
He never owned any machinery.
No, it was like draft horses or?
No, they all worked together. Oh. They'd go from one farm to another farm, and then whoever the woman was, she'd feed them all food. I remember that. You remember that?
Yes, I did the farming, and we harvest, made hay together, and it was cootses and
about all that together.
And my dad did. But Jim had the machinery, and he did basically the farming.
Wow. So tell me about maybe a tradition that you guys growing up, whether it was like just a certain holiday tradition or a certain meal thing that was to kind of recollect that was kind of something Grandma Grandpa put together or did or?
Maybe like cards. We celebrate, I spent Lent in fasting and had a wonderful Easter as far as meal and had the candy back again.
So Grandma was pretty, she was pretty traditional about the church doctrine on fasting with the...
Yes, very, very much so.
Oh, very much.
Yeah.
Just got to you sometime.
It's different times and eras and stuff like that. So, remember Grandma making kampani. You know, when I was there, I don't know, that was something that you would have when you were kids.
Made what?
Bumpy soup.
Oh, yeah, and we made kolaches. Kolaches was one of the big things, and my mom made the best apple pie of anybody in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she sure made a lot of kolaches.
Yeah. Winter. Kolaches, yeah.
So, any particular kinds or varieties?
And she prune and poppy seed were the favorites.
Yeah.
And nut filling.
Yeah.
Yeah, so would she make, would they make a bunch of them? You guys would store them?
Took all day.
Yeah. And you would store them and have them throughout the year, or is it just more of a...
Oh, yes, for quite a while. She made them in wintertime, was hotter, or cooler.
Yeah. And then where did you, Dad, learn the potato dumpling recipe and doing all that? Was that something that...
My mother, sure, she made potato dumplings and had pork with them and sauerkraut and that fairly often.
Yeah, it's quite a ritual putting together to make sure they're the right consistency. You want them to be hearty enough so they're kind of sinkers, but at the same time don't want them to be too heavy.
So right.
A nice mix of that.
Mm-hmm. That one's pretty much blue.
Huh?
You're pretty much a blue one.
Good job.
So why did they move to town?
Yeah, what did they, why did you move from the farm to the to Iowa City?
When I was 14.
Because Dad was just... So he had to, he didn't want to be on the farm anymore.
No. But we, last year before we moved off the farm, I was eighth grade and went to St. Mary's, Iowa City, and I'd come back home and pick up John and take him to school in the afternoon, kindergarten. And remember one thing, I ran the ditch one day, I hit the brakes and shouldn't have done that, and so that put me in the ditch.
And Mom, she tried to drive a car, but she went in the ditch once or something or other, and she never did drive then.
So in addition to the two of you, then an older Aunt Esther, who's your father's first, and then Aunt Jane, who's fourth, and then Uncle John is the youngest of that.
Right.
So what was it like living with three sisters and one brother, Dad?
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Y'all do stuff together, or did you have your own independent stuff that you did, or?
Pretty much,
yeah. Along very well.
Yeah. So what did Grandpa do over at the hospital?
He, night watchman.
Yeah.
And before being night watchman, he was painted.
Yeah.
And he was the only painter they had, and he did, moved from one room to another. And
start all over again once you got the very...
Yeah.
Wow. And then he transitioned to night watchman, so then he would be working from late at night until the morning, or...
Yes,
he night watchman.
Go to work at 9 at night.
Yep.
They lived across the street.
Yeah, we were right across the street from Mercy Hospital.
And my mother, she was did the dictating, transcribing service for the Mercy Hospital. So.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty strong family. Well, did Aunt Esther or Aunt Jane or Uncle John or anybody else besides Jane Arlene work at the hospital?
No.
Jane, no.
Jane didn't work at the hospital. Jane worked at Big Ten, or what was that, Jane? She worked at the Big Ten restaurant. She never worked at the hospital, no. Just me and Dad.
So do you have a lot of cousins as well, with, you know, six uncles and an aunt? Do they have children as well? Your age, and will you be in class? Would you have? Would they be in your class with you, or are they all in different spots of the different schools or different towns?
I
didn't have much connection with them. Really?
I don't think so. Nieces and nephews.
Yeah,
we.
We have picnics. I don't remember.
Yeah. Didn't have much to do with them, but we did
some, I guess.
Visit Jane and nieces and nephews there, and of course your family.
So then what did you do after, so you moved to Iowa City and were working there, and then obviously went to high school in Iowa City, and...
You worked at that grocery store.
I worked at... Western Union first, and then when I was 16, I worked at a grocery store. I worked for him for several years, a Rebo grocery store.
Yeah.
And, he had considered providing a job for me and running a grocery store in West Plain, but. He decided against it, and I went to college in St. Ambrose for 4 years, or 3.5 years. I went to summer school each summer, University of Iowa 2 summers, and St. Ambrose 1 summer, and enjoyed my college life as most people do.
So when you were in college, I heard a story that you had a metal suitcase that you would ship back home. And then Grandma would wash your clothes for you and press them and everything and send that back. And
yes. Yeah.
But so, like, was that a weekly ritual of sending stuff back and forth?
And got a little box and sent it home. And in my first year of college, we couldn't go home until Thanksgiving, so shipping pretty often. And but then later, then had a roommate that went back to Iowa City quite often, to Marengo, so I got caught a ride with him, and so I'd bring stuff home and then I'd take it back clean. So
yeah.
And she was in Davenport the same time he was.
And then you went to St. Ambrose as well in Arlene?
Well, it was in the same town, but it was called Marycrest.
Okay, so St. Ambrose at that time was just a male-only school?
Connected kind of together.
Well, a male-only except for nurses.
Okay.
It had some graduate nurses attending classes at St. Ambrose. Most of the nurses just went to nursing school at St. Mercy Hospital in Davenport.
And you studied, what area were you studying when you were at St. Ambrose?
I majored in political science and minor in history.
Really? So,
I thought about going to law school, but decided not to.
Yeah, you're ready to not be in school for a little bit or for something different. So you went to Marycrest, and you studied
on the other side of town. I studied business and education. I was just going to be a secretary, but my dad said, "I think you should take these other classes too," and also I did.
So that would have been back in 1940.
No, I graduated from high school in 1952.
Okay.
Graduated from college in 1956.
So, because I would think at that time there wouldn't be as many people doing, as many women doing college studies like that.
Well, there was all women at Marycrest. It was all girl.
Yeah.
All girl college. We had to be in at certain times, and we had done proctors, and it was pretty strict.
So you have nuns pretty much for all your classes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you have nuns, or were they priests at?
We had priests and laymen as well, but heavy on priests.
Yeah. And they have, did you have Mass every day and more prayer? Or?
Right. And I had, lived right above a priest, and he'd always call me to serve for him, and he said it's Mass. And I was able to quite often.
So what was one of your fondest memories in college?
Oh, friendship with the with roommates. We lived in a hall, and the first 2 years we had to be in the dorm at study time, and so we said the rosary at 10 o'clock, and
so it was a pretty regimented sort of schedule they had for you.
Yes, very. Very regimented.
Yeah, so it wasn't until your, like the junior year that
you could,
were able to get a little bit
and
more.
And you were, had to be in by midnight.
Were they more strict at Marycrest, Arlene?
They were really strict there, yeah. We had a couple of girls that got kicked out. Because they didn't obey the rules. But it was pretty strict, but I had really good friends, you know. We we had a good time together. We really did.
So you would go back, since you were both in the same city, you would go back and forth home together?
Yeah,
or?
Oh, yeah, we went home together.
Yeah. Were you on different tracks or whatever, so you just...
One time I got sick and they put me in the hospital and they were going to take my appendix out. Mom and Dad came and got me and got a hold of Howard, so he drove me home, and I didn't have appendix at all. It was a strep throat.
Oh, really?
That was really a blast. It was really a blast.
So then after graduating from St. Ambrose, Dad, then what did you do from there?
From St. Ambrose, I went back to work in the grocery store, and then I met and married my wife.
So then you were sitting there in Iowa City, but then you moved to Fort Dodge from there?
Fort Dodge, and yeah, shortly after, we got married in June, and I started working for Social Security in August.
What was the what made you transition from working in the grocery stores to Social Security?
There really wasn't much future to it, and the chain stores were just barely coming in, and so it didn't look like too attractive. But I and so the grocery store closed a while after I got through it, so.
So when you were working in the grocery stores, did you work all parts of it, or were there any specific areas that you were working? Or?
I worked everything, and it was a small grocery store, and so we only had about 4 employees, and but I was making very good wages. In fact, I was making more in the grocery store than I wanted to work for Social Security, but it was pretty much yearly promotions to start with, and so it got better.
So what were the wages when you were, if you remember, when you were in grocery versus switching over to Social Security?
I was making about $56 an hour a week, and I started with Social Security making $40.
Wow.
Yeah.
Things were different then.
So what did you do after college, Ann Arlene?
Went to teach school. I was the highest paid going out of there, $3,800 a year.
Wow.
$3,800 a year, but it was a shitty place.
Where were you teaching?
I only stayed there 1 year. I was at Charlotte. And I had to room with 2 girls that were in school, which didn't go over well. And they had a boy that always got drunk, and I mean, it was a horrible place. So I stayed there 1 year.
Hmm.
Didn't really know if I wanted to teach anymore or not. But my dad, he said, well, I think you ought to apply here at Stanwood. Well, at Stanwood, they asked me what religion I was. And I said I was a Catholic. They all frowned, and but there wasn't anybody else to take the job, so they gave it to me. But they really frowned on me being a Catholic.
So Stanwyck, was that like a Lutheran, or was that a particular religious school?
There wasn't a Catholic school.
It's public, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a public school, and there wasn't a church there, Catholic or anything. I had to drive to Mechanicsville to go to church. But we had a good time there, really. There were, like, that's where I met Dick, of course, would be in Stanwood, Iowa. We used to go roller skating and to movies together. There's 3 other girls in Dick that went. And this other gal, she wanted to have Dick too, but he chose me. But I had a good time there. It was fun. We'd do things together. And we had... One time, I'll never forget it. There was this friend of Dick's, and she was teaching grade school, and he was teaching grade school. And she stayed home from work one day, and we went to the beer gardens that night, and we talked her into going with us, and she got canned the next day. We were so, felt so bad, but that's what happened. But I must have taught there 3 years, and then met Dick, and we got married and lived in Davenport. I taught at the AIB in Davenport for a while. Business.
Business courses?
Mostly typing.
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly typing. I had like 50 students at one time in one room.
Wow.
But I enjoyed it a lot, and it was good. We lived in this apartment. Oh, God, the floor slanted. There's a nursing home next door. We didn't stay there very long. Then we moved into a little cubby hole down south part. And I don't know, rent was cheap then. We had to pay $75 a month. We started at 60 in this place we didn't like, and so then we moved up to $75 a month. I mean, that's just the way things changed. And
yeah.
I'm telling you, these prices are getting worse all the time. I don't know.
I think teachers probably make a little bit more than $3,800 a year now. Still not enough, but...
I started out at $3,800 and left at $37,000.
Wow.
Remember that well. So, it wasn't really big bucks, but it was security. You never had to worry about losing your job or anything.
How many years did you teach?
A long time. Must have been about 34.
Wow.
I taught even when I was pregnant. I didn't stay home much with the kids. They had babysitters. That's just the way we felt. If I hadn't gone back to work, we would have been on food stamps. That's no lie. I don't regret working. It was good. And so, I don't know. It gets pretty lonely living by yourself.
I bet.
But it's all right. You know what else you're gonna do. Amy and Mike, they take good care of me. I will say that.
You travel to Cuba.
When you were younger, did you travel? You traveled to Cuba when you were younger?
That was before I got married, yeah.
Yeah?
When I got out of college, I bought a brand new Pontiac. Beautiful car. White on the outside, black and leather on the inside. Yeah. And that went with my girlfriend, Phyllis. She was such a nut. But we went to Cuba and... I remember Cuba. We had to change our clothes. Couldn't wear shorts in Cuba.
Really?
Couldn't have your hair in curlers or anything. First time I went to a casino, we met this guy. He took us to the casino. Gave us money to play with or something rather than took us out to eat afterwards.
So this would have been before...
Before I got married.
Before the Castro situation?
We were lucky to get out of there.
Were you?
We were very fortunate to be able to leave there.
What was it like when you were there?
Oh, they had patrol, a lot of patrol.
Yeah.
A lot. They had ones that patrolled the city, ones that patrolled the countryside. You saw them all over. It was heavily, heavily watched.
Did you get questioned or anything, or did they leave you alone?
No, they left us alone pretty much of the time. So we were lucky to get out, because shortly after we'd left, they closed off the borders.
Oh, wow.
I remember that.
How long were you there?
We just stayed for, I don't know, a few days. We weren't there that long. It was just a vacation.
You decided you wanted to go to Cuba? And
Yeah. Yeah, we had a good time, I tell you. Yeah, of course. My friend Phyllis, she's such a hoot. Anyway, you'd have to get to know her because she was just funny. I heard from her now. I know where she is, and you know, Amy said that she lives in Texas now.
So, did you speak fluent Spanish?
I know some of it. I taught Spanish for a while because it was my second. Second minor.
Oh, your minor was in Spanish?
Spanish and English. So my first job in Washington was teaching Spanish at the junior high. Hmm. Yeah.
So obviously that came in handy when you were in Cuba to be able to...
Yeah, I knew some of it, yeah. Yeah, I know some, and I remember some of it, not as much as I should anymore. But I remember some Spanish. Were they afraid? Puerto de Baños bathroom. Puerto de Baños. Donde está? Where is the bathroom?
Yes.
I don't know. It was fun. Yeah.
Were they afraid?
Oh, So were you kind of just mentioning the guards around, were you afraid when you were there, or?
Oh, no, we weren't afraid at all. We hired somebody to drive us around the country.
Yeah, what was the countryside like?
Nothing to speak of, you know. It's like any place out. I don't remember too much about the country, but I know that we had a guide. Yeah. It was nice. I was glad I went.
So you probably the last ones to be able to go for a long time.
Yeah, before I went to Cuba, I worked at a camp up in Colorado, up in the mountains. That's the first time I ever drove a stick car.
In the mountains?
Had to go into town and get the groceries for the camp. Oh, Lordy's sake, that was, I'd never driven a stick in my life, you know. Had this van, drove the stick and loaded up, and stop at different places. You had the big loads of potatoes and meat market and all that stuff.
So you learned how to drive a stick quickly.
Yep, I sure did. Oh, well, that was fun. I've had a good life. Can't complain.